Hello and welcome to Soundwaves, the official podcast of the Ellen MacArthur Cancer Trust. Last week we talked about the Trust's 20-year history with CEO Frank Fletcher, which was such a pleasure to be a part of. And one of the things that really stood out was how everything that has happened has brought us to today as we look to the future. What do the next 20 years of the Trust look like? Every time a young person tells us about their experience with us, we learn more and more, and that helps us fine-tune what we provide. Do more of this, do less of that, that kind of thing. It also helps us talk about what we do, because there are so many ways you could describe a Trust trip. Like Frank said, it's the difference, it's the impact, it's the benefits to young people's mental well-being, and it's not about boats. Which is why this episode is about belonging. It's a word we've been thinking about, what it means and what it looks like. In my experience, in my own life, belonging is hard to put your finger on, but you know it when you feel it. I do think it's something we seek out and hold on to once we find it. Which is why it's the first of the 9 ambitions we launched for the next 3 years back in March. Our ambition to build belonging says we will be visible, relevant, and accessible to every young person who has a cancer diagnosis in the UK and be somewhere everyone feels they belong. It is that important to us. So I'm really glad to have Lauren on this episode, who was supported by the Trust following treatment for alveolar rhabdomyosarcoma. She joined 3 trips before going on to become a volunteer herself, and now plays an integral part in helping young people feel that positive impact to their mental well-being. She's felt that belonging, and she's seen others feel it too, so I was really glad to just chat with her about what that's like and why it's important. I hope you enjoy. Hi, Lauren. Thanks for coming onto the podcast. In this episode, we're talking about belonging. And before we get into exactly what that means for the Trust itself, can you tell us what belonging means to you and what it feels like?
Well, belonging for me is a feeling. I think where you're in an environment that you feel comfortable, that you feel safe, that you feel loved, accepted. And it's a bit of everything, really. I think cancer is a nasty illness and you can feel quite isolated. And I think just having people around you, a good support system, whether it be family, friends, it makes you feel like you belong.
And you mentioned that part about cancer in particular, but are there other parts of your life or other places you feel that you belong alongside the Trust?
Yeah, I'm very close with work. I mean, I love my job. I love what I do. I definitely feel like I belong where I am. Hobbies, I think, you know, you can feel belonging in teams if you do sport. I used to play football, and again, working part of a team, you play a game, you do the 90 minutes, you finish, and you get those moments of happiness where you think, yeah, this is like, I'm where I need to be.
So talking about the Trust, you were first supported in 2014, I believe. You sailed from the Isle of Wight. When you came along on that first trip, did you have any expectations or hopes for what it would be like?
I remember my former teacher hospital liaison lady, she first mentioned it. And at first I was a bit, oh, I'm not sure if this is for me. We did a bit of talking about it. And at the time I went to a weekly support group with other cancer patients, very small. It was people in my area. So there was maybe 4 or 5 of us. And we all decided that we would do it together. And we didn't really know what to expect, so we were throwing ideas around the table, but we knew we were going to be together, and we were all so excited. I had hopes of, you know, meeting other people like me. I remember feeling very nervous because I struggled with fatigue, and I was in fact still recovering at the time. But yeah, I was really, really excited, but expectations, I thought maybe I was going to have to do more than I actually did. I definitely thought it was going to be a lot more full on, but it didn't feel like that at all. It was very, it was very chilled. It was very calm. They adapted it for all of us. Yeah, it was incredible.
Was it nice to come along with people who you knew as well?
Yeah, for sure. I think, again, being such a nervous 16-year-old. I think I was 16, maybe. And I think going with three others, there was four of us. It was great. We weren't all on the same boat, so we did naturally make other friends, but it was good knowing that I had people there that I knew.
And you had three trips overall before doing your volunteer training. What was it that kept you coming back each time?
Oh, it was incredible. My first trip was probably the best time I'd had since I was little, since like a family holiday. The games we played, the conversations we had, and I would say that even the bonds built, friends that I made on that trip, I still speak to daily, sometimes weekly now. And it was just such a sense of belonging. I suppose it brings it into it that every time I go on those trips, I feel like we're a dysfunctional family, could you say? We have conversations that I can't have personally with my friends because they just are never going to understand. So I always come out of these trips learning a lot more about myself.
I was going to ask if you could tell us more about that sense of belonging when you come back each time. And was it somewhere that between each trip, would you look forward to coming back so that you could have things like those conversations you couldn't have with friends elsewhere? Was there something about the belonging thing you looked forward to?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, when I was a bit older in the trips, I think I went on the over 18s trip, and we have group chats. We see each other outside of the trust. And yeah, it did. It was always a big thing for me coming on these trips, and it was something to look forward to in the summer holidays. I was diagnosed when I was 16, and I had almost 2 years off school, meaning that all my friends, they were going through puberty at that stage. So naturally, they all moved on with their lives. I came back to school, and it was very difficult for me, like, to feel a sense of belonging because they didn't know me, I didn't know them very well. So the trust really helped with that.
Talking about sort of getting on with your life part aspect of being a teenager, which is hard enough without a cancer diagnosis. Being a teenager is rough. This is something we've talked about previously, that you are part of the LGBTQ community. And you mentioned when we talked about it that you found friends through the trust who are also part of that community. I'm just wondering what difference that made at all and how that ties into that sense of belonging and growing up as a teenager.
Yeah, when I was 16 and I was going through treatment, the last thing I was thinking about was, my own personal life, my sexuality, boyfriends, girlfriends, which all my friends were doing at the time. So I think I don't really have any friends that are, a part of the LGBTQ community that aren't in the trust. I have a couple, maybe. Most of them I met in the trust. And I think, again, it's just that sense of belonging. I feel that we are all part of one group, and then we're a smaller group within another group. It sounds very strange, but we just act as if it's normal. It's difficult. I think it may have delayed me coming out. I didn't come out till I was 19 or 20, I think. And the trust just helped me know who I was as a person because I could be myself. I didn't have to pretend that I didn't have cancer or that I wasn't gay or any of this. I could just be me on the trust, and it was great.
That ties into something I was going to ask, actually. We talked about what you looked forward to each time you came on a trip, but in like the weeks and months immediately after you'd been sailing for a week or you'd been supported in some way, did you feel a difference like immediately afterwards?
I would come out of a trust trip and have learned something about myself that I could then go on to take into real life, whether it be just a little bit of confidence to be myself in one area. I was always very quiet at school, just quiet in general, I think. And each time I come off of a trust trip, I always feel that little bit more confident.
You've volunteered for a couple of years. You'll be volunteering on a couple of trips this year. What was it like making that change from being supported to doing the supporting?
At first, it was hard because I was still very young, I think, but I knew I wanted to stay with the trust and I knew I wanted to give back something. So it was an easy decision for me to make to do it. My first trip, I was very, very nervous, especially when I had to do the traveling part. That was scary. Looking after essentially some young people on a coach, keep them entertained. But the second I got there, it was great. And I felt so, it was such a big achievement for me as well. Immediately, the rest of the team were so supportive. My skipper was supportive. We did Longtown, which was, I believe, it was my first residential trip and the trust's first trip with Longtown, and it was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be, and it wasn't as full on and as stressful. And I think being a grad volunteer, we kind of have a bit more of a connection with the young people because we can relate to them in some ways. It was finding it hard to be the volunteer and let them talk in some aspects, but now that I've done a few trips, it's easy and I love it.
I was going to mention that sort of connection that you have a better understanding with the young people than anyone else possibly could have. I imagine there's a great amount of empathy there for young people on those trips. They'll all have experienced the nerves of coming along for the first time and meeting all these strangers. I was wondering through your eyes as a volunteer, do you see the belonging happening? And if you do, what does that look like?
Yeah, for sure. Every trip you go in day one, we all do, we stand in a circle and we all say something that we like, our name. It's nothing too crazy. It allows everybody a chance to speak, and kind of get to know each other. And you see everybody is very, very timid, very shy, and everyone's in the same boat. And after that first maybe couple of hours where we play some team building games on both boat trips and residential trips. It kind of works in the same way that immediately after the first morning or afternoon has passed, even on day one, you see the difference. They are all chatting, making their own little friendship groups, and it's good to see because I was once there. So yeah, looking at both angles, you see them really feel like they are part of a bigger family, and it's so nice to see.
You remember your first Monday on your first time trip?
God, I think so. I was terrified, absolutely terrified. And yeah, we went round and we did our biggest achievement, and I think that I said that I'd done Snowdon, and there was like three other people that had also done Snowdon, so immediately it's like, oh, friends, mountain friends. And then you go back to your boats, and then you just, you're in such a small space with people, you soon become like family. And there's so many games that I feel the trust introduces that are built for including everyone, which again makes everyone feel like they belong because everybody can take part. It's, yeah, great.
I think it's interesting when you hear volunteers say that sometimes the right thing for them to do is when they see young people chatting, up the front of the boat, the best thing right there is to just let that happen, stand back and just let them talk and do their thing. But as like grad vol, does that change at all? Or because you can sort of feed in your own experience as well, or are you feeling the same thing where you just step back, let it happen, and if they want to talk to you, then you'll come along and you'll talk then?
Yeah, I think if they are having their own conversation, we aren't young people anymore, essentially. So we let them have the chat. I know it's heartbreaking. I tend to kind of let them chat if they are sitting at the edge of the boat. Some of the conversations naturally happen around dinner or around playing Uno, which then, I might be a bit more involved. And of course, if they ask me questions, I'm willing to answer and naturally conversations just flow because we all have so much in common and so much to talk about.
So, build belonging is the first ambition you read in our list of 9 ambitions for the next 3 years. And it says, we will be visible, relevant, and accessible to every young person who has a cancer diagnosis in the UK and be somewhere everyone feels they belong. We know that we have some way to go before this is how everyone feels. That's why it's there. It's there for us to put the work in and make sure that that happens. You have experience of being supported by the trust and doing the supporting. I was wondering, can you see the ways in which the team, the volunteers, the skippers, everyone who helps the trust run are currently getting that right? And I'm asking that question with full acknowledgement that there's more to do and no one person can fix and see everything. So I'm just wondering if there's things you've seen that you consider to be going quite well.
Yeah, for sure. I actually have a great example of the Longtown trip that I volunteered on, and I believe that was my first ever trust trip as a volunteer. And I remember it was very different for me being sat at the table with the skipper and the mates, and rather than being, the young person that's in my dorm room finding my bed and everything like that. And we had a conversation about, the plan and the young people, and we liaised with the Longtown staff to sort out the week. They'd already made a plan, but there were some that we felt that the plan wasn't going to work in some ways, that wasn't going to be able to include everybody. It was all easily changed. They were very quick, very great working together to make sure that the trip was going to be perfect for every single young person on that trip. And it was great. There was some last minute changes on certain days where some young people just didn't feel up to doing the water sports, for example. So instead we took them on a coach to some old caves, and we went cave exploring, and it was great. It worked for everybody. There was nobody left out. And yeah, the trust really do work together to make sure everyone is happy and feels like they belong on the trip.
Am I right in saying that during the volunteer training that we do, that it comes up, you are asked if there's an activity that someone, for whatever reason, is not able to join as a volunteer, how would you facilitate that person still feeling included?
Yeah, I mean, I did my volunteer training back in 2019, and there are scenarios about how to make people feel all included, and how we can overcome that if it gets to a point where that happens. And though I've never had to use it, because it's always been great, we've never felt that, or a young person has never felt on one of my trips that they haven't belonged or that they haven't been able to take part in something.
So, like we said, you're back this summer. What are you most looking forward to?
It's a bit cliche to say absolutely everything. Each trip I meet someone new that's inspiring, whether it be a young person, another grad volunteer, a medic. I always make a friend, and I always come out learning something new about myself, even now as a grad volunteer. The games, of course, the endless games. Again, Longtown, we played Sardines, which was a completely new game to me. Sardines, if you haven't heard of it, have a look. It's like backwards hide and seek. So you all have to, essentially, you all end up hidden in one little space. So there's one person that goes and hides, and if you find them, you hide with them. And then everyone ends up crammed into this small room. And it has always stuck with me as a game that I will always play. Yeah, everything about the trip, it's incredible. I enjoy myself every single time.
We could end there, or I could ask you what your best bit, worst bit, funniest bit has been of the trust so far, if you happen to have them to hand.
Oh, okay. Best bit is definitely when we played Sardines at Longtown with Dan, who was a skipper, and we all ended up in one of the wet rooms, steam rooms, that got very, very hot. But all I can remember is Dan holding on to the railings on the ceiling that you hung the wetsuits from. It was very, very, very funny. That's definitely the best bit. Worst bit. God, I've done a lot of trips. There's been not many worse bits.
That's always good to hear.
Yeah, maybe the time that my another fellow grad volunteer fell into the pontoon and Becky had to get on the ribs and do a full James Bond moment and save her. She was absolutely fine. She was just holding over the edge of the pontoon, and she was only in water that was maybe up to her waist. Yeah, that could have been both the worst bit and the funniest bit, because Becky has she never looked so cool.
Becky always looks cool.
Yeah, I love it.
Perfect. Lauren, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
That's it for this week. Thank you so much to Lauren for joining us and you too for listening in. That's it for this run of episodes too, because the season starts next week. We'll be back later in the year with all the stories from the summer about inspiring brighter futures and all the fun we've had along the way. I just wanted to remind you before we go about our 200 for 20 challenge. July marks our 20th birthday, and we are encouraging the Trust community to raise £200 in celebration to help us support more young people than ever before this summer. Listen to the previous episode to hear Trust CEO Frank Fletcher share stories from our 20-year history, and check out our website for ideas and inspiration on how to get involved with 200 for 20. If you're not already, follow us on social media at EMC Trust to keep up to date with all our goings on, photos from trips, the latest news, everything really. And sign up to our newsletter for everything you need to know delivered straight to your inbox, which you can do at the bottom of any page on our website. Right, let's go turn 20 in style. I'll see you on the pontoons. Let's inspire hundreds of young people to believe in a brighter future living through and beyond cancer this summer, together. We'll meet back here in the autumn. Till then, take care.